I should usually count. He usually counts back for me. All right. Well, let's say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chav Tes. So we are picking up. Let's just go back for a moment. We actually stopped on the top of Chav Tes and Aleph, but just to go back for one moment. Remember again, the Gemara introduced us to a machlokes between Parpada and Ula. Namely, I'll say in the case, last case of the Mishnah, bless you, of where a man says, Hari Netilos Sa'ilu Karban, Ad Shiyiktitsu. A person says these samplings will be a carbon, will be sanctified until they are cut down. So remember, the Mishnah said, In Lahem Pinyon, they have no redemption. So in a machlokes between Barpada and Ula as to what that said. So both agreed in the following situation, that in this case, when you say the saplings should be Kodesh until they are cut down, so what does that mean? What that means is a person is making a definitive statement that the saplings should remain Kadosh, even if what? Even if I try to redeem them. So even if I try to transfer their sanctity onto money, their redemption stands. Until when? Until it's cut down. So Barpada says, for example, you could redeem those saplings while they're attached to the ground over and over and over. And what happens? The redemption money becomes Kadosh. But the trees, the saplings also remain Kadosh. Once you cut them down, Barpada says, you could now redeem them, transfer their sanctity ultimately onto the money, and the trees become total chulin. On the other hand, Ula said, once you cut the trees down, what's talacha? So they're no longer kodesh. They're total chulin. Shuv ein podin. So it was a tap of chavtas. It says the Gemara. Amali Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna says like this. So Rav Hamnuna is asking on Ula. So the kedusha shebahen lehechan achalcha. So I'll say, here's the shaila. So the shaila is, according to Ula, once you go ahead and you cut down those trees, so what? So the halacha is that the trees are now chulin, and they no longer need any kind of pinyon. They no longer need any kind of redemption. So Rav Hamnuna says, well, where did the kodesh status go? Plus, I remember again, when something is hektish, so hektish status doesn't just go away. It has to somehow be removed. So Rav Hamnuna is asking on Ula, you're saying that once you cut down the saplings, the kedusha is gone. Where did it go? Right? Meaning, what's the mechanism for kedusha removal from the saplings? So Uma Ilu, listen to this, Rav Hamnuna, it's an interesting case. And so Rav Hamnuna gives an example. He says, Uma Ilu Amar Leisha Hayom At Ishti. Ulamachar iat ishti. Well, say, don't try this at home, right? So a man says to a woman, today you're my wife, but tomorrow you're not my wife, right? Tomorrow, right? Alternate Mondays, right? Second Tuesdays, right? So he goes ahead and he says, it's actually a very interesting case because it helps to clarify a principle. So if a man says, I'm marrying you, what he's saying is, I'm marrying you on the condition. Hari at mikudesh esli al tnai sha'at ishti hayom ve'ein at ishti lamachar. Right? You're marrying on the condition you're my wife today, you're not my wife tomorrow. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Mi nafka below yet. So we'll say, again, does such a tenai work? Of course it doesn't. Why? Because once you're in. In other words, what does that mean? That the only way to not be married to your wife is how? Through get. And we'll say, now what the Gemara, right, get or death. That is true. Thanks for that reminder over there. Right, so they are, right. That was Menachem Schoenfeld, just to the, all right, so for the recording, I just want to make sure it's on there. So the idea over here, what Rav Hamnuna is saying is like this. Rav Hamnuna is saying that, I don't understand, if just like marriage, once you enter into the state of marriage, so the state can't just go away because you wish it or you condition it away, but rather it requires a process to remove the status of marriage, i.e. a get, so too when something becomes kodesh. Also again, that kodesh status does not just go away because the trees are cut down. There has to be some type of pinyon, some type of redemption process that occurs as well. To which the Gemara says, Amli Rava. So Rava says, Rav Hamnuna, what are you talking about? First of all, let's take a look at the Rush for just a moment. The Rush is on the right-hand side here in the column. Mi nafka mine below get. Does the marriage go away without a get? The milsa de pshitahi, the chivan de naasis ishto, in yotze and a below get. Because we know once the woman becomes my wife, once one becomes one's wife, so the man say, again, he can't go ahead and get rid of her without a get. Elinyan get im amar hayom iat ishti ulamakar at ishti kevan she paska vodinami leinyan kiddushin dekadshe the makshinan havil yitzia. They both say. Now here's what's interesting. So the connection over here that Rav Hamnuna is making is not immediately clear. Meaning, why is he bringing up a kasha from kiddushin? So we'll say, at first glance, what he seems to be saying is, whenever something enters into a state of being, so a state of being can only be reversed through some type of process. A state of being does not just cease to exist. The Rush explains, no. The connection between kiddushin and hektish is actually much more profound. Why? Because ultimately, again, there's a gzeir shava. The Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin makes a gzeir shava between Kiddushin and Hekdish, marriage and consecration. Therefore, what Rav Hamnuna is really suggesting is the same way that if you get into the process of marriage, you can't go ahead and simply get out of it with a tanai, but Lamaisa, there has to be a get to reverse the process. So too, if something is Hekdish, you cannot, that state does not just simply cease to be, but rather must be some type of process of redemption. So remember, this is all a kasha on Ula, because Ula was the one who said that once you cut down the trees, what happens to the Kodesh, what happens to the sanctity of the trees, simply evaporates. Rav Hamnuna is saying that can't happen. There has to be a process of pigyon. To which the Gemara says, Amalei Rava. So Rava responds to Rav Hamnuna, no. Mi kamedamis kiddushas damim lekiddushas hagof. You are comparing apples and oranges. You are comparing, I will say, what we call kiddushas damim to kiddushas hagof. So I will say, kiddushas damim means financial sanctity. Financial sanctity, that the item itself is not kodesh, but rather what is kodesh? It's value. So we'll say, for example, if you're makdish trees, so the truth is, trees actually is an interesting example, because if you're makdish trees, is that kiddushas haguf or kiddushas damim? So the truth is, technically speaking, it could be kiddushas haguf. Remember, again, we learned in Maseches Tainis that there are families that pledged wood to the Beis HaMikdash. Quite a beautiful idea. That they used to bring the wood for the Mizbeach. But in this case, the Gemara is going to say that when you're makdish these trees, these saplings, you're being makdish the value of the saplings. So the Gemara is saying over here, but yet by marriage is what he calls Kiddusha Saguf, meaning it changes the actual body, the physicality of the person. So says Rava, how can you compare the case? Meaning Rava is now trying to diffuse Rav Hamnuna's question. Rav Hamnuna, you're asking, how could the trees just simply stop being Kodesh? After all, if you look at a case of marriage, just like if a man marries a woman, so he can't say, I'm married to you today, and I'm not married to you tomorrow, he can't change the marital state of being without a get, so too you shouldn't be able to change the Kodesh status of something without pigyon, that redemption, to which Rava responds, no, that's not a good comparison. Why? Because there are two different types of kiddusha, right? The kiddusha of the trees is what we call kiddushas damim. It's financial sanctity. The value is kodesh. Therefore, I will say, I could suggest that what? Once ultimately the trees are cut down, that sanctity just totally leaves it, as opposed to marriage, where there's kiddushas haguf. Where there is kiddushas haguf, in order to change that state, what do you need? You need some type of formal process. Take a look, I will say, let's just read another line. So the Gemara says, Kiddushas Damim Paka. So we'll say, if something only has financial sanctity, so it is quite possible that once circumstances change, that Kiddusha simply goes away. So therefore, once you cut down the trees, the Kiddusha simply goes away. Paka Bichdi. Paka Bichdi means it just goes away by itself. Kiddushas Haguf. But I will say again, if something has physical sanctity does not simply go away by itself. I will say, take a look at the Rush once more. Kiddushas damim paka, techi hechi, de paka ayide pedia, paka nami ayide kavius zman. So I will say, when something only has financial sanctity, so although financial sanctity can be removed, can certainly be removed through pigyon, through redemption, but it could also be removed simply through a lapsing of time. In other words, that if I go ahead and I make a duration for the amount of time that this item should be financially sanctified, I say, the saplings are sanctified as long as what? As long as they are not cut down. But once they are cut down, says the Rush, but once they are cut down, then the sanctity would go away. However, the Rush goes on, Aval Kiddusha Saguf, de lo paka ayide pidiyo, lo paka nami ayide kaviyas zman. But also, it's interesting. If somebody has kiddushas haguf, the Rosh posits that that cannot be redeemed, and because it cannot be redeemed, that Kedusha does not go away with the elapsing of time as well. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is holding right now, so based on this answer, what the Gemara is suggesting is that the case of our Mishnah, of where I sanctified saplings, I'm not literally being makdish the saplings. In other words, there's no Kedusha Saguf. Instead, what there is in this particular case is Kiddushas Damim, financial sanctity. And that's why Ula is saying that since I put a duration on the sanctity until I cut the trees down, once the trees are cut down, Ula posits there's no redemption that's even necessary because the Kiddusha simply goes away. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amali Abaye, Sabai says, one second, is that true? Kiddushas Haguf Lopaka Bechti, is that true that Kiddushas Haguf doesn't just go away by itself? But one second, Vatanya, we learned Shar ze ola kol lamidyom ula acher lamidyom shlamim. So a person makes a very interesting statement. Person sets aside an ox and he says, for the first 30 days, if I offer this up in the first 30 days, then it'll be an ola. But after 30 days, it will be a shlamim. So we'll say, so what is the halacha in such a case like this? Right, we'll say, if you take a quick look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here, V'atanya misha omer shar ze ola kol lamidyom, shim yakriv besoch lamidyom ola, ve'im la'achar lamidyom yikrav yehi shlamim. So we'll say, again, interesting, if I offer it up within the next 30 days, it'll be an ola. After within 30 days, we'll call it 31 through 60, it'll be a shlamim. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, first of all, take a look. Well, let's actually read one more line. So the halacha is, kol lamid yom ola. So for the first 30 days, if you offer it up, it's an ola. And after 30 days, la'achar lamid yom shlamim, it'll be a shlamim. Supposed to take a look at the Rosh for just one moment. Kol shloshim yom ola. Im ba la'akriv otok shloshim yom. If you're going to offer up this carbon within 30 days, yakriveyu ola. You have to offer it up as an ola. Ve'im lo hikrivu otok lamid yom. But if you're not going to offer it up within the first 30 days, ve'im lo hikrivu otok lamid yom, then after 30 days you offer it up as a shlamim. Why? Depaka mimenu kiddushas ola, v'chala alav kiddushas shlamim. Because I will say in day 31, the kiddusha of ola has left the animal, and instead it's only kiddushas shlamim. V'adinamim amar la'achar lamidyom chulin, shenasa chulin, v'chayvan sheish hafkas l'kiddushas aguf in chiluk. So I will say, what do you see from here? The fact that you could change the sacrificial designation of the animal from something for this, from the first 30 days to the second 30 days, tells you what? That Kiddusha Saguf is also changeable. And that Kiddusha, because remember again, this is a karban. So you're changing the Kiddusha. Remember again, I was like going from an Ola to a Shlamim is a change in sanctity. An Ola has greater sanctity, ultimately again, than a Shlamim. So what do you see from here? You see that Lamaisa, Kiddusha Saguf can fundamentally change by itself. To which the Gemara says, but according to what you said, this shouldn't be so. Am I? Why should this work? Why should this designation work? That you can go from an ola to a shlamim. Kiddusha saguf ninhu. Why don't you say this is a case of kiddusha saguf upaka bichdi? I will say, and again, is it possible that lamaisa is just simply going away by itself? So we'll say, remember, this is a baye asking a question on Rava, who is answering the question of Rav Hamnuna that was posed ultimately on Shitas Ula. And now you have again Rava coming along and saying, Abaye is saying that here's a case of Kiddusha Saguf. Remember, Rava wanted to suggest that Kiddusha's Damim can go away by itself. Kiddusha's Haguf cannot go away by itself. That was Rava. Comes along Abaye and says, well, I'm not sure about that. I'm going to give you a case of Kiddusha Saguf that does go away by itself. What's that case? This animal is an ola for the next 30 days, and then if I offer it up, but if I don't offer it up after 30 days, days 31 through 60, if I offer it up, it's a shlamim. We both say that represents going from one level of sanctity to another level of sanctity. The Kiddusha Saguf, essentially, of ola goes away, and the Kiddusha Saguf of shlamim sets in, so that shows you that Kiddusha Saguf can go away without any process of redemption or anything else. So which is our bias is Rava, you're wrong. To which the Gemara says, Halchama Askinon, what's the case? Ah, the Amr Lidmei, the dummy. So we'll say, no, what's the case? What's the case of Rabbi saying? When I say that this animal for the first 30 days should be an Ola, and then afterwards should be a Shlamim, I'm not actually pledging it as a Karban. What am I doing? I'm offering up, I'm pledging the sacrificial amount. Meaning I'm pledging, it's Kedushas Damim. Essentially, what the Gemara answers over here, what the Gemara answers is that this is not a case of Kedushas Aguf, rather it's what? It's a case of Kedushas Damim. That when I said, for the next 30 days, if I offer up this animal, it should be offered up as an Ola, what I'm saying is the value of this animal is pledged for an Ola. And after 30 days, 31 through 60, it should be a Shlamim. I'm not saying it should literally be offered up as a Shlamim. Rather, what am I offering? The value of the animal to be offered up as a Shlamim. In other words, that it's a case of Kedushas Damim. So because it's a case of Kedushas Damim, everyone agrees that in Kedushas Damim what? That the status ultimately could change without any level of redemption or any other intervening process. So Yahi says, well, okay, if that's the case, Ema Seifa, then look at the end of that Braisa. What did the Braisa say? Listen to this case. La'achar lamid yom ola, me'ach shav shlamim. But let's say I reversed it. See, remember, in case number one, I was saying for the first 30 days, the animal should be an ola, and then if I don't offer it up in 30 days, it should be a shlamim, right? So that's, I'm going from what's called more chomer to more kal. Now, the Seifa gives the reverse case. After 30 days, this animal should be an ola, but from now until 30 days, if I offer it up, it should be a shlamim. So the Gemara says, "I amrit bishlama chad bekedushas aguf v'chad bekedushas damim." Now, here is the question. The question is, it sounds like we have two identical cases. Right, two identical cases. Namely, two cases where essentially we're saying the same thing. I'm designating the animal to be one type of carbon for the first 30 days, and I'm designating the animal to be a different type of carbon for the next 30 days. So in case number one, for the first 30 days, it's an ola, then it becomes a shlamim. And in case number two, it's a shlamim, and then it becomes an ola. So the Gemara says, why don't I need both of these cases? Si'i armit bishlama, chad bekidushas aguf, chad bekidushas gam. So we'll say, if you tell me that one case is referring to where I'm sanctifying the animal Kedushas HaGuf, and therefore, again, what is the Braisa telling me? Braisa is telling me that when there is Kedushas HaGuf, even Kedushas HaGuf could change without any intervening process. So for example, again, like the first case, where I said for the first 30 days, it's an Ola, or Shlam, and then it becomes an Ola, the Braisa is teaching me that what? That Kedushas HaGuf changes without any intervening process. And then the other case teaches me what? The other case is a case of Kedushas Damim, where I'm not literally pledging the animal for a carbon, but rather what am I doing? I'm pledging the value of the animal. And the Mishnah is telling me that Kedushas Damim also changes without any intervening, or could change without any intervening process. Then Amud Beis, Hainu de'itztrich le'tana le'misnitarti. Then I understand why the Tana needs to state both cases. We'll say now, why do I need both cases? The Sakadai Tchamina Kedushas HaGuf Lo Paka Bikedi Kedushas Damim Paka Mikedi Amatu Lahachi Tana Tarti. So we'll say, I understand then why we need both cases, because I might have said that perhaps, again, Kedushas HaGuf does not go away by itself, whereas Kedushas Damim does. Therefore, the Brice is necessary to teach me that both types of Kedusha indeed change. So we'll say, again, it's quite intuitive and quite logical approach. So remember, again, if you tell me that both cases are referring to two different things, then I understand why they're both necessary. Because, I'll say again, just so we're all on the same page here, because this is a very Yesodistic idea. There are two different forms of sanctity, as we know. There's Kedushas Damim, which means when you play, I say, let's say, I'm Makdish this chair. So we'll say, when I say, if I'm Makdish this chair, that statement obviously, basically, Makdish doesn't need this chair. So what does it mean if I'm Makdish the chair? It means I'm Makdish the value of the chair. So meaning I would go ahead, I'd sell the chair and dedicate or donate its amount, its value to the Beis HaMikdash. But on the other hand, if I separate out a sheep and I say this is a shlamim, ultimately, again, I'm offering up as a carbon. But here's the interesting part, that there are some things that could go either way. So for example, the sheep is a good example. A sheep, if I'm makdish, if I consecrate it, it could either be for Kedushas Damim or Kedushas HaGuf. I could be pledging the value of the sheep, or I could be pledging the sheep itself. What the Gemara is trying to figure out is like this. Now we're talking about changes in status. If I want to affect a change in status of a consecrated item, and now to allow it to become chulin, what is the process for that to occur? What the Gemara now is suggesting is that Kedushas Damim, well actually now we're saying it's a machlokes. What Rava wanted to suggest was that Kedushas Damim could change by itself. change by itself. And I also remember, what does this all come back to? This comes back to the case of the Mishnah. I go ahead and I makdish the saplings. I say the saplings should be kodesh until I cut them down. So what's the halacha? Once I cut them down, what did Ula say? Ula said they become chulin with what kind of process?
Nothing.
Just become chulin. Why? What's the logic behind that? So Rav is suggesting that's because they were only kedushas damim. And kedushas damim could change by itself, but kedushas haguf could not. The Gemara now says, well, is that true? That kedushas haguf doesn't go away by itself? But one second, look at this price that we just quoted over here. A person says, this shar should be an ola for the next 30 days, and afterwards it should be a shlamim. So we'll say, what's that halacha? Such a designation works. It works. Now this is a case of kedushas haguf. Right? And here, what do you see? You see from here that Lamaisa Kedusha Sakuf could change even without any intervening process. To which the Gemara says, well, I don't know, how are you sure it's a case of Kedusha Sakuf? Because look at the Braisa. The Braisa quotes two cases. Case number one, for the first 30 days, if I offer up this animal, it should be a Shlamim. And then for days 31 through 60, it should be an Ola. That's case one, and it works. Case two, first 30 days, it should be an Ola. And after that, if I don't offer up the first 30 days, then it should be Shlamim. Why do I need both cases? So the Gemara says, if you tell me, the only way this makes sense, as the Gemara, is if you tell me that both, because remember, they both seem to be repetitive. If you tell me that one case is talking about Kedushas Domin, and one case is talking about Kedushas Haguf, then the Braisa makes a lot of sense. Why? Because then the Braisa is telling me, had it just said one case, I would have said, when does Kedusha, what we call Paka Bichidi, when is it possible for Kedusha to just simply go away by itself? That's only by Kedusha Saguf. By Kedusha Zdomim. But by Kedusha Saguf, you need some type of intervening process to change the Kedusha status. Therefore, this Braisa comes along and teaches us both of these cases. One case talking about Kedusha Saguf. One case talking about Kedusha Zdomim to teach me that what? That in all cases, there is the ability for Kedusha to be Paka Bichidi. To go ahead and just simply evaporate and go away. Let's just read that again. Hanu top of chavtes on the base. Hanu district tana. Hanu district leitana lemisne tarta tarti. The Tana is teaching me both of these ideas. Why? The saga that it's chamina. Because I would have thought kedusha saguf lapaka bichadi. Without this price, I might have thought that kedusha saguf does not go away by itself. But kedusha is done in paka bichadi. But I financial sanctity can go away by itself. Therefore, amtu lahachitana tarti. Therefore, the Tana teaches us both of these cases to teach us what? That ultimately, both Kedushas Haguf as well as Kedushas Damim are able to simply go away without any intervening process. To which the Gemara says, Ella, I amrit idi v'idi Kedushas Damim. All right, but one second. If you're going to tell me that both of the cases of the Braisa, meaning I also remember two cases. Case number one, days 1 through 30, the animal will be a shlamim. Days 31 through 60, it'll be an ola. Case number 2, days 1 through 30, it'll be an ola. Days 31 through 60, it'll be a shlamim. If that's the case, if they're both dealing with kedushas haguf, or kedushas damim, excuse me, lama li lemisni tarti, why do I need both cases? Why do I need both cases then? If they're teaching the same idea, to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because hashta yishlomar, listen to this, hashta yishlomar, Mikedusha Hamur Likedusha Kala Paka Mikedusha Kala Likedusha Hamura Srihala Mema. Because also here's the issue. Remember, the cases, although they sound repetitive, are somewhat uniquely different. How are they uniquely different? Because we'll say one case has the animal going from lesser sanctity to greater sanctity, and one has the animal going from greater sanctity to lesser sanctity. In other words, what? In case number one, where it's going from shlamim to ola, that's a case of lesser sanctity to greater sanctity. Why isn't ola greater sanctity? Because an ola is totally consumed on the mizbeach versus a shlamim that is partially consumed by the owners. Case number two is what? From ola to shlamim. So I might have thought, so what the Gemara is suggesting is, even if you want to say, all you needed to tell me in this kind of case is what? All you needed to tell me was, just give me the case of where it goes from Ola to Shlamim. Let the Braisa just state that case. And if we just said Ola, which is what we'll say, what? A more Chamer status to a more Kal status. So for now, remember, just follow this train of thought. If you want to tell me that kedushas damin paka bechidi, which means that financial sanctity just simply goes away, if that's what you want, if that's what you're telling me this whole mission, this price is teaching me, then just illustrate that with one case. And which case, Rabbi Osai? Which case? The second one. Excellent. Where you go from what? Where you go from Ola to Shlamim, you're going from Machmir to Kal. And I would have said like this. If kedushas damin paka bechidi, if financial sanctity just simply evaporates, without any intervening process, in a case of where the animal goes from a more stringent sanctity to a lesser sanctity, then it goes without saying that what? That the same process would apply if it's going from a lesser sanctity to a greater sanctity. Therefore, the Gemara says it must be that the Brice is coming to teach us that both cases represent two different ideas. That one case represents Kedushas Haguf, and one case represents Kedushas Damim, and therefore also the Brice is teaching us that in both cases of Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Damim, Paka Bikidi, that ultimately, again, Kedusha could go away from an item without any intervening process. So we'll say this is a support for the position ultimately of Abaye and Akasha against Rava. To which the Gemara says, we're not finished. Lema Devet Yuvta Debar Pada. So we'll say, listen to this. So all of this, remember, this whole thing is a discussion in Ula. Because we'll say, remember, again, Ula was the one who said in the Mishnah that what? Remember what was the case in the Mishnah? These saplings are kadosh until I chop them down. So what's the halacha? So Ula says that when they're standing, you can't be pulled them. But once you chop them down, what's the halacha? They're totally chulin without any process of redemption. Okay. So this whole discussion until now was all in shitas Ula, trying to figure out when does that concept of kedusha paka bichadi, that kedusha just simply goes away. When is that true and when is it not true? So that's the machlokas. Is it true just in a case of Kedushas Damim, but not Kedushas Haguf? Or is it true even in cases of Kedushas Haguf? That's the machlokas, Abaye and Rava. Now the Gemara says, wait one second. Right now we're talking, this whole thing is in Ula. But there is a glaring issue over here, which is, all of this seems to refute the position of Bar Pada. Because what did Bar Pada say in Amud Aleph? Bar Pada says that when the trees are standing, you can't go ahead and cut them, you can't go ahead and redeem them. But once you cut them down, what did Bar Pada say? What did Bar Pada say? That you have to redeem them, right? You have to redeem them. Which tells me that what? That even once the status of the trees change, nevertheless, the Kiddusha does not simply go away. It requires a redemption process. Well, clearly we've seen over here that what? That Kiddusha does go away without a redemption process. It's true. Maybe it's Kiddusha Sagub, maybe it's Kiddusha. What are you going to say?
It doesn't go away. It's still there when you go from Ola to Shlamim.
No, that's the whole chap over here. You're saying it's still karbonic.
Right.
No, because since Ola and Shlamim have such dramatically different Kiddushas, that is called as if the Kiddusha of Shlamim has left the building and there's a brand new Kiddusha. To the point that the Gemara is suggesting, it's such a dramatic change of state that it's almost the equivalent of going from Kodesh to Chulin. That's, you're saying good, but what you're saying is Gufa the Chiddush over here. That going from one carbonic state to another carbonic state is mamash a change of Kiddusha. So we'll say, so now the Gemara says, but one second, let's take this back a little bit. And remember, this whole thing is a refutation of the Shita of Bar Pada. Because remember, we'll say, Bar Pada's essential position is that Kedusha doesn't go away by itself. That's why he says in the case of the saplings, that once you cut down the saplings, what has to happen? You still have to redeem those saplings. Rav Papa will tell you, so we'll say, Rav Papa is answering on behalf of Bar Pada. So I will tell you what I believe Bar Pada would have said. This is what Bar Pada would have said. Im lo amar me'ach shav shlamim, la'achar lamid yom, o lahavi. I will say, so Bar Pada interprets this braisa dramatically differently. Bar Pada says what the braisa is coming to teach you is, had he not said that it should be shlamim now, after 30 days, it would have become an ola. So we'll say, Bar Pada says like this. Let me say what he would say, the halachas, and we'll read it back into these words. Bar Pada says, if you go ahead and you say, the animal is a shlamim now for the next 30 days, and after 30 days, day 31 through 60, it should be an ola, Bar Pada says, such a statement does not work. Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work? Because lemaisa, once you've endowed the animal with shlamim sanctity, in order to remove that sanctity, what do you need? You need a process of pidyon. You need some type of process of redemption. Just simply saying that it's only kodesh for 30 days, and day 31 it's no longer kodesh, or it's a different kind of kedusha, such a statement like that doesn't work. Why? Because once there is shlamim sanctity, and if you want to now vest that animal with ola sanctity, you must actively remove the shlamim sanctity and place upon it the ola sanctity. So what Bar Pada says is like this: had he not said im lo amar me'achshav shlamim, had he not said that it should be a shlamim now, then what? La'achar lamid yom ola havi, it would have become an ola after 30 days. In other words, had you not made it a shlamim now, then after 30 days, it would have been able to become a shlamim, an ola. But now that you made it a shlamim, that shlamim status prevents it from automatically becoming an ola after 30 days. Without what? Without somehow first repealing or taking away the shlamim status of the animal. Midi dahava. So Bar Pada says, I'll give you an example. This is like a case of what? Midi dahava. Ha'omer le'isha. Listen to this. Hiskat shili la'achar lamid yom. If a man says to a woman, become mikudeshes to me after 30 days, the mikudeshes, the Torah will say such a kiddushin works. Now what's the novelty? Even though the money is no longer here. So I'll say, a man says to a woman, become mikudeshes to me after 30 days, gives it right this kesef kiddushin. Let's say now after 30 days the kesef kiddushin is gone, the kiddushin still works. To which the Gemara says, Pshita, I don't understand, like, what exactly is the chiddush in that? He gave her the consideration, the kesef kiddushin now. It's true, the kiddushin will not be chal until after 30 days, but what's the chiddush? To which the Gemara says, Tzricha de Hadarbe. Oh, I will say, what's the case over here? First of all, we take a quick look at the Ran. The Ran says, Pshita, Kilomar Pshita de Mahani Kihasam, Velama le Letana la Ashmoinon. So we'll say, it is obvious that ultimately, again, if this works by Ishus, then certainly, again, it works by Kabbalah. Also, remember, we said this before, that there is this connection between, there's this Gzer Shava between marriage and between Karban. So certainly, again, if this works by Kiddushin, to say to a woman, you are Mikudeshes to me after 30 days, within 30 days from now, and you give her the case of Kiddushin now, and the case of Kiddushin is going on time of Kiddushin, nevertheless it works. So if that works ultimately by a woman, it'll work by a Karban also. As what does it mean by a Karban? By a Karban, if I say this animal should become an Ola in 30 days, ultimately, again, such a designation will work. So Mar says, what's the chiddush? Oh, I'll tell you the chiddush. The chiddush is the hadarbe. The Rebbe said, the person tries to go ahead and renege on the designation. So what happens? Says the Gemara, Hanicha l'man damar eino chozeres. So we'll say, listen to this. So now let's go back for just a moment. So this makes sense. Granted, Madam says, I'll say, let's go back. We're going back and forth between Kiddushin and between Karban. So the Gemara says, according to the Mandam who says, Eino Chozeres. Now remember, this is a case, a man says to a woman, Bikam Mikudeshes to me with the money I'm giving you now, but the Kiddushin will only be Chal after 30 days. So we'll say, let's say the guy has a change of heart. So can he change his mind? I was about to say, obviously, he could always give her a get. The shayla is, can he change his mind and renege on the tnai, renege on the condition? So according to the Madam who says that he cannot renege on kiddushin, so then we'll say, it would be over here also. You wouldn't be able to renege on this tnai by carbon either. But according to the one who says that you can be chozer, ultimately, again, by Kiddushin. The Rebbe said, within those 30 days, if the guy says, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want to marry you, that he can renege on the tonight, Ma'ika le'meimar, to which the Gemara says, Afid l'man damra hosam chozeres ha'chashani. Rebbe said, listen to this. As much as we're linking the processes of Kiddushin to the process of Karbanos, even if you say that if you say to a woman, become mikudeshes to me with the money I'm giving you now, after 30 days, according to Madam, who says that he has the ability to renege on that tanai by marriage, if he makes a similar tanai by karban, right? This animal should be a shlamim after 30 days from now. Everyone will agree that what? That you cannot renege on that. Why can you not renege on that? Well, it's a very important klal. Hacha shiny da amirasa legavoa kimisirasa lehadyot. Because Rabbi Yossi saying this is a very important idea. Amirasa legavoa, verbally pledging something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the equivalent of giving it over in non-consecrated matters. In other words, that verbal designation of sacrificial items of a karban is the equivalent of taking physical action. And therefore, again, if you make the statement that this animal will be a shlamim after 30 days, and then what's the halacha? That designation stands and you cannot renege on it. As opposed to what? As opposed to in a case of where a man says to a woman, Hari at mikudesh asli, you are betrothed to me after 30 days. He gives her the kesef kiddushin now, that he has the ability to renege on that condition within the 30 days. So we'll say, we're going to stop over, but to bring this all together, what are we left with? We're still left with a fundamental machlokis between Ula and Barpada. So remember, again, and really, it's in our Mishnah. And again, the fundamental case is the case of the trees. A person says the trees should be kodesh until the point that I cut them down. So what's the halacha? When you cut down those trees, Ula says no pinyon, no redemption process is necessary. Why? Because Ula says, paka kedusha b'chidi, that kedusha status could go away from an item without any intervening process. The only machlokes is what? What type of kedusha is Ula referring to? Does Ula say that ultimately, again, in a case just of kedushas damim, or does he also say that in the case of kedushas haguf? That's a machlokes Abaye and Rava, right? Rava and Abaye. Rava wants us to suggest that the only type of kedusha that goes away by itself is what type of kedusha? Kedushas haguf. But kedushas damim requires some type of pinyon process. Abaye disagrees and says, no, even kedushas haguf goes away by itself. On the other hand, Barpada will say, not true, kedusha doesn't go away by itself. Kedusha requires some type of pigyon, some type of redemption or intervening process. And how does Barpada interpret the braisa that we quoted? Barpada will just simply say that if you go ahead and you say that an animal should be a shlamim for the first 30 days and an ola for the next 30 days, Barpada will say, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And that's in fact what the Mishnah is telling me. The Mishnah is telling me that the only way for the animal to go ahead and become a shlamim 30 days from now is what? Is if I did not make it a different type of carbon in the interim period of time. But if I made it an ola now, and I want it to become a shlamim 30 days from now, Barpada will say what? That process ultimately does not work. So therefore, we're left with the fundamental machlokesim Barpada and Ula as to whether or not paka kedusha bikedi, does kedusha go away by itself? Different types of kedusha go away by itself. Emir Tashem will continue tomorrow. I'm going to